This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jim Duncan is a local realtor and blogger. He blogs at realcentralva.com. He's also a founding member of the Nest Realty Group, the latest realty company to hit the streets here in Central Virginia. And Jim joins us on occasion to talk the real estate market, buying, selling. Today we'll also talk about foreclosures here in Central Virginia. Conversation we really began yesterday with Mike Guthrie and Greg Slater. They were both in from the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors. By the way, before we go any further, was the search fixed? Is that up yet?
No, it's still broken. My search site is still kind of down right now.
I noticed last night, because you and I both were the same way. I go on my car all the time and look at new listings, and mm-hmm. I mean it's I'll be perfectly honest with you. It's just cool to look at homes,
yeah.
Look inside homes, all the pictures of homes and the architecture and the furniture, and I like that. I think it's pretty interesting. But last night I was getting nowhere. The MLS search is down.
The public MLS was down last night. It's up today, but on a lot of the individual realtor sites around the area, there's something's wrong with the feed. But people are working diligently on it right now because it's really stressing me and my clients out.
I have no doubt that as we speak, somebody is working on that problem somewhere.
Yeah, I'll yell at somebody later after they kindly fix it.
Yeah, well, it'll get fixed, I'm sure, very quickly. We're talking with Jim Duncan, and the phone lines are open this whole hour at 977-1070. If you got a real estate question, buying, selling, Jim's the guy to talk to. Give us a call, 977-1070. Let us talk with your take on the numbers. Greg and Mike mm-hmm. shared their thoughts about it yesterday. And there's good and bad, I guess. Is that the best way to put it, or is it just it's pretty bad?
It's mixed. It's when you look at the stuff that's actually selling in Central Virginia, and by Central Virginia I mean Charlottesville, Albemarle, Fluvanna, Louisa, Greene, and Nelson. The stuff that's selling is really selling under 300, and it's the stuff that's selling now is in as close to pristine condition as you would expect. I mean, almost new construction. So it's you know, you look at the stuff that's moving off the market and it's going quickly. And it's a matter of the sellers coming to reality in a lot of cases where they recognize that, you know what, I'm not here to have people through my home for the sake of having people through my home. I actually want to sell this property. And I think Charlottesville has been slow to react and respond to the market realities that are seen elsewhere, but it's
slow to respond in that the sellers are slow to bring their prices down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, you look at the national news and that's good to get an overview, but what's happening locally here is that sellers are slowly responding, and the things that are coming on the market now, you know, look at the numbers. About 25% of the homes on the market now have, you know, continuous days on market of less than 30 days. So a quarter of the properties that are for sale right now have just come on the market. So,
wow, say that again. 25% of the homes currently listed in the Central Virginia MLS
right.
have been on the market for less than 30 days.
Correct.
And that recognizes the fact that the season is starting now.
Right now. Right now is the time when people are looking at the school years and they're trying to budget their time accordingly so that their closing date and their move date jives with how their with their school year, with the finish of the school year, but also with med schools are starting. And,
yeah.
You know,
a transition we normally like to do in the summertime.
Right.
So you like to get that all done, say, late spring, early summer, so you can go to closing in the summer and make the move.
Yeah, and there are two phases. I see them there being at least two phases to the market, and it's the people who want to move at the first part of summer and then the ones who want to move just before school starts in late August. So it's you'll see a doldrum midsummer usually, and then it picks back up right before school. So it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to look at the numbers and look at the psychology that's happening right now with all the people that are involved in so many aspects of the market.
We were talking one thing that Mike and Greg shared with us yesterday. We're talking with Jim Duncan, is that the fact that so many of these homes that are now selling are under 300 shows you that a lot of people are coming into the market for the first time,
right?
And getting a lot of those starter homes are moving.
You have a lot of people who have been sitting on the sidelines for years, really, who have moved to the area, were flabbergasted by the pricing reality of Charlottesville, And they decided to sit on the sidelines. And a lot of people are now actively looking. And they are, well, they're actually going from looking to buying. And I think that that's an early indicator that we are poised for a turn. I'm not in any way, shape, or form calling a bottom. But I think that we're trying to get through it. And I think that if we can make that turn, we're looking at the start of another cycle. Because those people who buy in the sub-300 today will be the ones selling in 5, 7, 8 years. And those sub-300 now will be buying in the price range.
They'll move up.
So
yeah.
it's sort of, you know, sort of a rejuvenation of the market if what's happening now is real and it sticks.
Yeah. What are you going to need to see to say this is real?
I need 18 months of hindsight. Right. And I mean, in all earnestness, it's you need to see next year when we look back and say, okay, well, that's where we were. And 6 months of trend say we've been doing X, which hopefully will be volume will be increasing and prices will be, if not increasing in value, will be stabilized in value and not deteriorating.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to look back and say, okay, well, that was awful. We're finished with that and we're able to move forward. So it's in reality, we need 18 months, 12, 18 months of hindsight, because I think that where a lot of mistrust has come about is by all the people throughout all segments of the economy are saying, well, now – today's the bottom. Today's the bottom. Oh, I'm sorry. Today's the bottom.
Yeah.
And so I think that pulling back a little bit from looking within the circle, it's important to realize that we need that hindsight to be able to make a good call.
We're talking with local realtor Jim Duncan. He blogs at realcentralva.com. You got a question or a comment about buying and selling in Central Virginia? It's 977-1070. What other numbers did you particularly find interesting or telling in the new? And when we say the numbers, the first quarter market report was recently released, which gives us sort of a gauge of where we have been. Like any poll or any numbers, it shows you where you were. It doesn't show you exactly what's going on now.
Right. I think that it's been really incredible watching the vast numbers of people who are clamoring for this information, because everybody is trying to get a hold on what's happening in the economy. And it's on all the local blogs. The discussions have been about the first quarter market reports and the various interpretations of what they mean. I think that we're looking at possibly 15 months of inventory, give or take. But I think that it's seasonal. And if you look, and I don't even pay as much attention to the actual number of months of inventory. I look at the trend lines. And we seem to be, you know, as happens annually, we seem to be decreasing the number of months inventory as we burn through some of the existing inventory. And one of the positive things on that is that there's far less new construction coming on the market. And that's really good for the existing homeowners who have a house to sell.
Now you don't have to compete
with
a new home that might be listed less than what you want to sell yours for.
Yeah, and we're seeing that a lot. And a lot of buyers, you know, they want something that's fresh and new. And that's... it's not just tied to what's happening in today's market. It's historical. They want something shiny, new, brand new.
Yeah.
And
they want the garages to store stuff. I learned that recently. It ain't about parking the car. It's about storage. That's why people want garages. And they want the big bathrooms.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
It's interesting. But I'm seeing that people are paying less attention to the size of the master bedroom and more to the size of the bathroom and the closets. Because you spend more time when you're standing in the bathroom and in the closet than you do in the master bedroom.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I mean, and you're also seeing a real trend towards people paying more attention to utility bills, and they're asking how much things cost on a monthly basis. And they actually are trying to budget. And it's really, you know, I think one of the economists I was watching the other day said that we're looking at a fundamental shift in the American psychology, where people are actually spending what they make, you know, or less there. And it's fascinating, because people also don't want the 4,000 square foot house anymore for 1.5 kids. You know, 2,300, 1,800 might be good enough. And then they have to increase, they have less stuff that they can accumulate. So there's so many things that are happening right now that are going to impact the market going forward that it's just astounding.
We're talking with local realtor Jim Duncan. Anything else in the numbers that you thought was interesting?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I think that the days on market is one that I pay a lot of attention to, but the data is kind of iffy. But again, the trend lines are what I pay more attention to, and they seem to be decreasing. The number of days on market seems to be decreasing as we're going forward. And I think a lot of that ties back to the sellers that are realizing that pricing is key.
Which means the days on the market means the number of days a home is from the time it's listed until the time it sells.
Sells by meaning going under contract.
Okay, so not necessarily going to closing.
Correct.
But going under a ratified contract.
Exactly.
That's the days on the market.
Correct.
And when it goes under a ratified contract, it officially comes off the market. And those that number, that days on the market, the DOM, you're seeing that come down
right
as we move into the buying season.
Right. And it, again, it's the market is trying to sort its way out. And it's
So Jim, what is selling right now in Central Virginia? Besides it just the homes under 300,000, you know, what do you say to somebody who's got a listing at 375 or 450 or 550?
Put it under
300. Are they moving at all?
They are moving, but it's a matter of those sellers looking at what the comps, and by comps I mean comparable sales, but also I mean by comparable active and under contract and withdrawn and expired. But they have to look at the data when it's available and make those determinations based on that statistical analysis rather than what they need to make or what their emotions are, because what they need to make and how much they love their house are completely irrelevant with regard to market value.
And that's tough with so many people now who are upside down on their mortgage or even just close to it.
Right.
They don't want to take money to the table to sell a house.
And a lot of people don't have that money to take to the table. And that's why we're seeing an uptick in the number of short sales, which is where, you know, where the seller's underwater and they're looking to sell. And so, you know, the things that are selling are the ones that are priced well. And it's a very broad statement, but it's stuff that where the sellers have looked at it and said, well, this is where, you know, our analysis says we need to be.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if it's, you know, 475 and all the active and the active comps are saying 4.25, you know, really and truly you need to look at, you know, 420 or 415.
Right. One of the things we were talking about yesterday that I found particularly interesting, the lack of sales of homes means a lack of comps.
Right.
So what numbers do you then look at? And Greg was saying, well, you know, he thought that most, by and large, painting with broad strokes here, but by and large, the appraisals that are on a home now that the county recently issued, they're fairly accurate. Whereas in the past, we would have thought they were way low. Now they're, by and large, again, are you know, within 5 or 10% either way.
One point of clarification, the assessments, not the appraisals.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the assessments.
But I have an ongoing conversation with a frequent commenter on my blog about the assessments. And I'll disagree with Greg in that I haven't found a specific correlation between, you know, these properties in this neighborhood are all 5% under or 5% over. I think they're a really good guide, and I think that they are becoming more important with regards to not just market value, but also the fact that buyers are looking at that as a determiner of market value. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But again, the county assessments provide a really good guide. But I think that one thing to really remember is that the assessors don't go in all of the houses. And I was showing a house the other day, and one of the assessors drove by and said, "How much is that house? Is it, you know, a house for sale?" And I told him, and he said, "Well, what's it like inside?" I said, "Yeah, okay." You know, and you know, I'm honest, but when you look at the assessments, if you have three townhouses in a row, and one on the left has been, you know, eaten alive by dogs, and one in the middle is in pretty good shape, and one on the right is in perfect shape, they're all going to be assessed most likely for they're about the same value.
But they're going to have a different market value.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
good point.
I think that you know, they are a guide, just as the market analysis provided by any realtor is a strong guide or an appraisal. But the determinant of value is going to be what the buyer looks at the market value, market data, and says, well, this is what I'm willing to pay.
Yeah.
If the house is on the market for 400 and they're willing to pay 150 for that specific buyer, market value is 150.
We're talking with local realtor Jim Duncan on Charlotte Hill right now at 29 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. We're going to take a break here at the bottom for local news and weather. When we get back, Jim, let's talk about what sellers absolutely must do before they put their homes on the market in this economic climate here as we get into the buying and selling season. This is Charlotte Hill right now. Stay with us. Let's continue our conversation with local realtor Jim Duncan. He blogs online at realcentralva.com. He's also a member of the Nest Realty Group. And let's start, if we can, in this segment with talking about what buyers need to do. We'll look at the buying side of this equation as the housing market hopefully heats up. It's a simmer right now, but hopefully this will really heat up. The weather's turning nice. Lots of people out there want to buy. There's lots of good deals. We know for a fact there's a ton of people that want to sell. Mm-hmm. They just got to, you know, not everyone can sell for the price that it... Here's what the dilemma is. Not everyone out there who wants to sell can sell for the price at which they know it will sell.
Right.
They can't do it.
Right.
Because for whatever reason.
Well, I think that from a seller standpoint, one of my notes here is that when the seller is looking at selling, they need to be honest with the realtor and they need to be honest with themselves. And I think that it's hard to do when you bought your house for $300 and it's worth $280.
Yeah.
To look at yourselves and say, well, you know, I made what I thought was a good decision and now it's not. And accepting that if you don't have that $25,000, $40,000 in the bank, you're going to have to suck up your pride and discuss the short sale. And I think that pride is just one, you know, small part of it. And once you get beyond that and recognize the market realities and that you're not the only one and there's a lot of people in the same situation, then once you move past that, you can have a more, you know, honest conversation with yourself and with the realtor,
yeah,
about what your goals are.
But you gotta and just know that every realtor sitting down with seller these days to talk about listing, they're having this conversation with everybody.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
No, absolutely.
Most people out there are upside down on their mortgage. That's just a simple fact of the marketplace, isn't it?
I think Zillow did a study a couple months ago or weeks ago, and they said, I think either 1 out of 7 or 1 out of 6,
okay,
in the nation are underwater. And either way, that's a ton of people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's your, so I think that the, you know, take some consolation in the fact that, you know, you're not alone, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if you owe more than your house is worth.
Yeah, yeah.
So
let's talk about buyers now in this market and what your advice for buyers and just what they need to keep in mind as this season gets going.
They need to do their due diligence. And I think Greg said it yesterday really well. It's something that good realtors are picking up on, is that the buyers out there today are far, far, far more informed than we've ever seen before. A lot of them are more attuned to the market than a lot of realtors, frankly. And they are doing their research. And one of my clients wrote a story for me a couple weeks ago that I'll post again about how to search for a home. And her 7-step process, number 7 was...
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was awesome. And number 7 was drive by the house. You know, and so you recognize that as a buyer. I've got a lot of buyers out of state and out of country, actually. And they're doing the stuff online that I'm doing here. And they're doing it more frequently than I am, frankly, because I'm out showing houses.
Yeah,
and so they'll
yeah.
email me and say, I just saw this one. I'm like, well, that one came on 4 minutes ago. How did you see that? Well, I'm sitting there not at work. So from a buyer standpoint, do your research. And I'll post that thing up because it really is tremendous. But if you don't have a house to sell, I mean, that's a simple thing to say, but it's much
more
complex.
You mean when you're buying?
When you're buying, don't sell your house. Move. You know, I've done this, so I can say it. It stinks. Move to temporary housing if you must.
Yeah.
But get that contingency out of the equation.
Allison and I did that at one point when we moved to Lexington, when she took the job at Washington and Lee. And I will tell you, I didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to move to town and live in the house that we owned.
Right.
And we looked. We looked and looked and looked. And our house was not on the market. We couldn't find what we wanted. So we very reluctantly went into faculty housing. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to do it. It was just temporary rental turned out to be one of the best decisions we ever made that we were forced into.
Right.
But in retrospect, boy, that was smart. It was so smart because it's put us in a better position from which to buy.
Well, with my buyer clients, I want to do whatever I possibly can to put them in the power position when they go in. And one of the things that you can pull out that of the equation that makes a buyer stronger is if they're extremely well qualified, which most buyers I'm finding today are, because the wonky loans have been pulled out of everything. But they're really well qualified, and the ones who don't have a house to sell are able to come in and say, "Look, I'm a big brick of gold, Mister. do you want me?" And it really puts them in that position where they can negotiate much more strongly. So it's simple, but it's hard. Don't have a house to sell. Be flexible on anything that you can be. And one of those that I asked Keith, the guy I work with, one of my partners, and he said, be flexible in the closing. If the sellers need to close 90 days out, do that. If they need to close in 30 days, do that, because then you'll be able to negotiate more strongly on the price. Because there's much more that goes into an offer than,
just the price. Yeah.
I mean, there's 30, 40, 50 different things that we look at. And in the hot market, I had spreadsheets where I would evaluate multiple offers, and we often had 5, 6, 7 offers, and that was how we would evaluate these contracts. And so, you know, be flexible in anything you can, is one piece of advice. Another one is be prepared to make multiple offers. You know, one, be prepared to lose houses because things are moving quickly nowadays in certain price points. And be prepared to be in a competitive situation because there's surprisingly little good inventory out there right now. So, and I've been in, you know.
In now, what did you mean by that? Because I thought there were thousands of homes
there
on the market.
There are, but the ones that are priced according to the market, there are not as many as one might think. And so it's...
Which means there's the majority of homes you think are overpriced. People are still a few years back, or they're just trying to, you know, their mortgage is talking to them, and they're like, right, this is the number I need.
Right. So a lot of them are pricing it based on what they need to make. And, you know, the buyers are aware of that. And again, it's you look at what the... You know what the seller's motivation is, and you're able to go in and say, okay, well, they're probably going to be reasonable. We'll give it a shot. But if you go in, again, if you make an offer on a $350,000 house for $300,000 and it's worth $300,000, I tell my buyers they're probably not going to accept this. But it's worth a shot because it's a house that you really want that's worth $300,000. So it's you know, you have to be – and I look at – with all of my buyer clients, the first offer is an exercise in learning the contract so that by 2 and 3 offers – they're able to just zip through pretty quickly, and it's a less stressful operation. So it's important to understand that the first offer may not be the one that actually gets accepted. Pull the emotions out from a buyer standpoint. Don't fall in love with the house. You know, you don't
see, that's my problem. Right. Every house we've bought and we've owned three or four homes. Every house, I was like, this is it. We're going to live here for the rest of our lives. It's beautiful. This is what I'm going to do with the yard. And hopefully by now I've learned not to do that. But it's just a natural reaction, especially if you've seen a million homes.
Right.
And you find the one you want and you're negotiating the price and they want to sell to you. And yeah, I mean, that's hard not to fall in love with the house you really want to buy.
Right. And from a wear my buyer agent hat. Well, I put my seller's agent hat, and I want the buyers to come in and fall in love with my clients' houses.
Yeah.
But from a buyer's agent standpoint, my client's emotions is one of my strongest enemies. Because
In the negotiations,
because if, you know, again, you know, if they really love the house, I need to pull that out of the equation and say, okay, well, I know you love the house, but let's look at the numbers and let's look at the data and see what it is worth today. And let's also think about resale, because I tell all of my buyers and almost the same thing. I say, I want to find you the right house, blah, blah, blah. I want to make sure you can sell this house.
If
you have to.
Yeah.
Especially if people, and I've had this happen, buyers have moved here. This happened once where they bought smart, thank goodness, but they moved here and realized that Charlottesville was not the home for them. So and I think in 6 or 7 months, they called me and said, we need to leave. And that was it.
Shame on them.
But
they didn't try one of our fine restaurants.
They didn't, you know, but they didn't lose that much money. You know, yeah. They'd lost a little bit.
Now, that's more of an issue for Northern Virginia, where you see a lot of turnover and people coming in, like military and people. But that's more of an issue. But it's good to point out that still could be an issue here.
All of my clients here at one point in our relationships that life happens. Life happens to people, and sometimes it just didn't work out, and you need to move forward.
Yeah.
My job, again, is to try and pull those emotions out of it so that they recognize that, yeah, we might not like it here, or the job might, you know, people today are worried about, you know, getting laid off. Or if life happens to them, I want them to be in a position where they're able to move forward with their lives.
Otherwise, if you're buying now, you should plan on staying there for a little while, right?
I'm telling people 4 to 7 years.
Minimum. 4 to 7 years, yeah.
It's hard to say, you know, 3.5 years or some hard number because every situation is different. So, but yeah, we're not, you know, I've told dozens of people probably this year, don't buy a house. You know, law school, you know, some UVA folks that come in for 1 or 2 year positions.
Just rent. There's some great rentals out there in this market.
There's some great rentals. And it used to be you could come in, buy, and in 2 years make, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. But now I've told people, you know, people come in law school, they call or email me usually and say, should I buy a house? How long are you going to be here? 18 months, 2 years? No.
We're talking with Jim Duncan, local realtor. He blogs at realcentralva.com. Your thoughts about sellers now. What do sellers need to do in this market?
They need to do the 18 projects that they meant to do the last 5 years.
Go ahead and do them.
Go ahead and do them. because the buyers are coming in with some perceived to be unrealistic expectations, but they're coming in with those expectations, realistic or not. And there are enough of them with those expectations that they are become reality. So with from a seller standpoint, you know, if I'm taking you on as a client, I'm going to work you.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to look at the stuff that you know, we go through the house and we look at the stuff that needs to be done.
The punch out list.
Exactly. Yeah. The one that you've been, you know, the honeydew list, whatever you want to call it, the things that you've meant to do, you have to do them now. You have to paint, you have to clean, you have to fix anything and everything that yeah. you can find.
And, you know, I will say, having sold a few homes, one of the greatest things you can do is just a fresh coat of paint on the walls. And there's a billion paint crews out there.
Mm-hmm.
To bring some guys in and just check that off the list. That makes a huge difference, fresh coat of paint on that sheetrock.
Fresh coat of paint, the cleaning the windows. You know,
and as far as paint's concerned, when you're selling, you lean towards just the regular eggshell off-white or whatever it is,
yeah.
not a particular color, right?
Yeah,
when you're selling.
When you're selling, and I would also encourage people to think about using the low VOC paints just because it's green, but that aside, it doesn't smell.
Yeah.
So when you paint it the night before the house goes on the market and people come through the next day, they're not going to walk through with that, oh, well, they just painted. What are they trying to hide?
Yeah.
You know, so you want it, but you
and more people now are asking as well. They're more educated.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find more people are asking, is this low VOC paint?
A lot. It's interesting. A lot more people are coming through and they have allergies. You know, and so with my clients who have pets, you know, I'm finding that a lot of my buyer clients, and I don't know why it is, they have allergies to pets. And it's something that I try to guide them to not have pets. When we've sold our houses, you know, my dog Shakespeare, we've gotten rid of Shakespeare, given him to my mom, just because it makes showing that much easier and he removes the smell. And so from a seller standpoint, you need to do anything and everything that you have been meaning to do while you've lived in the house.
Yeah. What else for sellers?
It sounds simple, but you know my clients have been I've worked them pretty hard to get the house to that perfect showing condition, if at all possible, and price, and market it as effectively as possible. I mean, I think that you know our MLS allows I think up to 50 pictures inside, you know, in the MLS for each listing. So I think that you know as a seller, when I put a house on the market, I expect the first visitor to my websites to be my client. So I think it's incumbent upon the seller to go and check the MLS and make sure the pictures look good. And if they feel that they don't, you know, I expect my sellers to challenge me, really and truly, because it's the sellers, you know, it's their money on the line. So if they are checking it and there's only one picture in the MLS, you know, I would expect, you know, one, I wouldn't do that. But I think it's the sellers, it's incumbent on them to check up on how their home is being marketed. And, you know, I think that that's really a crucial thing that I read a lot of the real estate blogs around the country, and it seems like some sellers don't do that. And I think that, you know, my relationship with my clients is clearly a two-way street. And I expect them to challenge me at all possible and to tell me what they think I'm doing wrong. And if I'm doing something wrong, I'll fix it. But if it's something they feel I'm doing wrong and I'm doing it for the right reasons— You know, that's my profession. It's why they've hired me.
Yeah.
So I need to be able to back it up and say, yes, I'm doing this, and this is why, and this is why I'm doing this.
Jim, we're also seeing a lot of sites now with video of homes.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have an agent who's maybe not as tech savvy with the video? It's still okay, right? I mean, you don't have to have the video.
You don't have to have the video, but there was a conference a couple months ago in Colorado, and it said that 70% of online consumer or online buyers want to see video. And I think a third of 1% of realtors use video. So I think it's something that it's almost the point where you have to do it, because buyers want to see not just the house, they want to see the layout, they want to see the outside, they want to see one of my favorite clients said, I want to see the view of the outside from the bathroom. Because he wants to know what he's getting into. Because you can, my buyers, you know, and all buyers, not just mine, but everybody's using Google Earth. They're all using Zillow. They're all using these sites so they can see the aerial view, and they want to see what the power lines are. And it's, you know, I think it, you know, sellers need to understand that they are, for better or worse, conceding any and all privacy.
Yeah.
While their house is on the market.
And that video or online, what's called the virtual tour,
mm-hmm.
I like it when it's more than just a slideshow of the pictures you just looked at.
Right.
I like it to be something new.
Right.
So that the pictures and the video are different.
Yeah, I mean, I think, video is something I've been toying with for a while, and I'm trying to do it for all of my listings. And I'm, you know, the first few were very crude, and I put it out there on my blog. I said, I'm trying video now. Bear with me.
Yeah.
and they've been getting better. And it's something that, you know, listening to my buyer clients is something that they really, really want. They want to see, you know, what's the left, the right, around it.
Right, right.
The sound of the traffic, and it's, they want to be there without actually having to walk or drive over to the house.
Yeah. So, well, and that's going to help for people who are looking online who are really buying. It's going to really pre-qualify people mm-hmm. so that if that person who's seen all that and does a drive-by and wants to see it, they're really interested.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the best thing a seller can get is a buyer who is emotionally entangled with that house before they've even gotten there. And that's you know, that's from a seller's, you know, from my client standpoint, I want to pull in those emotions of the buyers. I want to tell them why they love this house. And video helps accomplish that in a lot of ways that text and still pictures don't.
My guest is Jim Duncan. He blogs online at realcentralva.com. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Do you want to just, can you give a Cliff Notes version of what's the latest with foreclosures? And we can talk about that in more detail when you come back.
Yeah.
But
they seem to be picking up. I picked up the hook today and looked at the number of foreclosures. And I think they said a couple weeks ago that they were stopping doing the outlying counties because they were seeing more and more there. And they just didn't want to become a weekly newspaper of foreclosure announcements.
Wow.
They're picking up as the short sales are. I think it's a segment of our market that we are in. My read of the information, we're trailing Northern Virginia.
Which has more foreclosures, yeah.
They are, but they've turned. I mean, my friends up there, one of my good friends in Loudoun, said that the volume year over year is up 47%. And that's, you know, so 47% more houses are selling this year than at this time last year. And that's tied in large part to the fact that they had so many foreclosures and so many price reductions that – no, they've moved on in a lot of ways, and I think for Northern Virginia as a whole, it's up 11%. I think we're going to see more this year. I saw one of the local blogs today that there are 123 foreclosure announcements in Charlottesville right now.
143?
23.
123 just in the city?
That's what the blog post said. I'll cite it later.
Wow.
I think
that is a lot, right?
I think it's a lot. Yeah. I mean, relatively, it's a small percentage of the number of homeowners out there.
Yeah.
But it's more than we've seen. So I think that it's in the right context, it is greater. And I think that, again, it goes back to educating the buying public about what they need to do to try to prevent foreclosure when that's what they want to do. And I think Shelley over at PHA, when some of their counseling classes is they have to they suck that pride out of you and look at the information and get a plan to prevent the foreclosure if at all possible.
Yeah.
But I think that it's you know, from a buyer, from a homeowner standpoint, you have to want to prevent the foreclosure. Because I mean, one of the things that I've read about and I've seen is that some sellers will just concede the fact that they're going to foreclosure. And so it's a challenging time, but I think that it's important for all buyers, sellers, and homeowners to educate themselves as much as possible.
Absolutely. RealCentralVA.com is the website. Jim Duncan, thank you, Jim.
Thank you
Appreciate
so much.
Appreciate it. Joins us once a month to talk a little real estate. A break for CBS News, local news, and weather. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.